from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, and all our swamp-based beings who are listening to this show, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep in an announcer voice sometimes. Why? Because I don't know. It's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And here's a couple ways we're able to bring this podcast twice a week. Thank you. Hey, before we get to the sponsors here, I just wanted to let you know that this show comes from a place of compassion and caring about you, because you deserve a good night's sleep, you deserve to be seen, and you deserve a safe place. And that's what I'm trying to do here. And I'm trying to operate out of that old place of the golden rule of compassion, of empathy. And, you know, I'm just learning. I'm barely just, you know, a preteen as far as my maturity goes. But I want to let you know that you're important. And if you need extra resources right now, there's links to organizations that can steer you in the right direction. And that means supporting the members of our community. And right now, that means supporting the Black members of our community, because Black lives matter. And so if you've been impacted or you're looking to be a part of the solution, there'll be links to resources and organizations in the show notes too. So you can be empowered to take action from a place of compassion, because that's what guides this show. And that's what really, in the end, it's all about. So that's that. And then these are the sponsors that bring us to the show twice a week for free. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, I do need, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I pop my peas and I hope you be pleased to hear what I have to say when I can't rhyme. This is where I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, because podcast advertising is actually, performance action driven. The sponsors support the show and then they kind of see how do the ads perform. So the listeners that support the sponsors and let people know about it, this really works. works to keep the show free. So I want to thank Drew B., who supported Sunsoil, Maureen, who got in a Grove order, Michaela, who got a brand new Helix Dawn mattress, and Craig, who got an Air Doctor. Thank you, Drew B., Maureen, Michaela, and Craig, for supporting the sponsors, letting them know about it, letting me know about it. If you do that, let me know about it. Tag them, tag me in a social media post, call them, send them an email, and let me know about it so I could thank you here in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Drew B., Maureen, Michaela, and Craig. Thank you. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's going to be links to organizations that can connect you with resources in the show notes, including international organizations. So use those links right from your podcast app. And if you want to support the members of our community, the Black members of our community right now, and say Black Lives Matter with your actions, you're looking to change, you're looking to become a part of the solution, there's going to be links to organizations that can help you. Or if you've been impacted by racism, there'll be links to organizations to help in the show notes. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and that's the Malala Fund, helping young women around the world get access to quality education. It was something that was important to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it's something important to me, and it's something I support. It's Malala.org, and you can support it. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in the show, including you. And you commissioned holiday, people can commission holiday songs as gifts from you, correct?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a month.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. That's at song.jonathanmann.net. And that is the end of what do you say? We slow it down and get out with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts running through, you know, things you're thinking about on your mind about the past or the present or the future, feelings. So this could be emotions coming up or physical sensations, changes in time or temperature or routine. So any of those things, you say, well, this has been a change in my routine here. Okay, well, yeah, let me see if I could help with that. Or whatever it is, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to help. And the way I'm going to help is I'm going to try to take your mind off that and keep you company while you fall asleep. And the way I'm going to try to do that is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I mean, I try to create a safe place. I kind of said that, but I always like to emphasize that comfortable, roomy, or cozy. You know, we have it all. We're the placiest of the safe places. I don't know if you've, because right now when I'm recording this, of course, I'll talk about it in a minute if I remember. Hold on, I'm going to grab a pen and write it on my hand. Okay, so you didn't hear that pause or when I had to redo this take because I dropped a pen. But So I'll try to come back to it, because new listeners I want to get to. So I'm going to try to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across a deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing. Eventually, they'll be soothing for some, you know, if you're new. Soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. So creaky are my dulcet tones. And I live in California, so right now they're extra creaky. They are. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. I do want to give you a bunch of information, because this podcast is a lot different than what so-called normal podcasts. So naturally that could throw people off, and I totally understand that. So let me give you some information so you have it. First thing to know is this podcast is not for everybody. But even for the people that listen on a regular basis, which is a significant amount of people, it took two or three tries or five tries. But I would say two or three tries is an honest effort to see if this podcast is going to work for you. And you might say, you want me to do honest effort to listen to your podcast? I say, no, not so much. Like, I want my, I do desire my podcast to help you fall asleep. So that's my motivation is, to give it two or three tries, and I'd only say, like, yeah, it takes a little, like, I'm with you, because all this sleep stuff, it takes a lot of work. And you say, why does it have to take so much work for me to get a good night's sleep? I've been asking myself that my whole life. Yeah, I'm in much stronger words than that, and it really isn't fair. I'd say, well, giving this podcast two or three tries is worth a shot at this point, because if you've tried even half the stuff I've tried, you've probably spent a bunch of money and invested a lot of time in mostly emotion, because you say, well, I hope this one works. Or at least for me, I got those brain bots and I say, well, you know, I'm going to try this new routine. And they say, well, why? I thought you were trying, you know what I mean? It's not easy being one of us. So whether this podcast works for you or not, I hope you get a good night's sleep. But give this a few tries. I mean, I guess my main thing is, like, to say, if you're skeptical or doubtful, that totally makes sense. Like we just talked about, we've seen a lot of sleepless people. So that's one thing. Give it a few tries. If you're skeptical or doubtful, or you feel like this is like you're making a face while you listen to this at first, that's totally normal, because this is different. And also to go along with that, this is really not a podcast or even a sleep podcast or sleep audio that you listen to. Like, this one is a one podcast that's halfway in between being something that you listen to put you to sleep, or that you don't listen to that's background noise. We're right in between those things, and it could be either way. You could totally make me background noise, or you could kind of pay attention, but just kind of barely pay attention if you're new, until you kind of develop a way that you like to listen, and then maybe that'll even change. So just barely listen to me. And if you're new and you try to figure out the podcast, you're waiting for it to be like the other stuff, we don't ever get there. And this isn't really a podcast that puts you to sleep. I guess that kind of goes along with it. It's more a podcast that keeps you company and takes your mind off of stuff, barely engages you while you fall asleep. So there's those things that are important to know. Then the other thing that can throw new people off is the structure of the show. And the structure of the show kind of goes like this. It goes, greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, and all our swamp, I don't know if I said it, but our swamp-based beings, because this is our friends, our forest friends. So there's a greeting, so you know you're welcome. Then there's business, and the business keeps the show going, coming out twice a week, instead of being a paywalled thing. So there's business. Then there's an intro. The intro is around 12 to 20 minutes long. And I guess I find it, you know, it just doesn't work for everybody, that idea, at least at first, especially, I mean, there's nothing I get more, other than my voice and my personality, the other thing I get the most strongly worded emails about is, the intro and the business, because for someone that's feeling strongly about it, it just is one thing. And they say, what is this 20 minutes of this stuff? So let me at least try to meet you where you are, if you're even close to feeling that way, which is legitimate and understandable. So the intro is an organic thing. It's kind of a show within a show is the easiest way to say it. But for regular listeners, it's part of their bedtime routine or their wind down routine. So you could experiment. You could start it before you get into bed, or you could start it when you get into bed. You could also start it and start to do some other mellowing out thing, whether it's drawing or, you know, maybe you just play with Legos for a few, like 15 minutes. I don't know. I'd like that. Hey, Legos, how come you're not pitching that to adults and maybe even kids? Like, play with Legos for 15 minutes. Legos are pretty chill. Or a Lego competitor, you know, Playmobil, you don't have my number, but, you know, I'm definitely down. You say, well, we're changing, or some other, you know, action figures. They're not just for action anymore. Dolls, they're not, you know, they're not just for imaginary playing. They're for chilling out. It's true. I mean, you're nodding your head, I could tell. But so just kind of the idea of the intro is to give you some distance between the day and bed, to ease you into bedtime. Now, there are a percentage of listeners, 2% of regular listeners for our free feed, and then a percentage of patrons that just consume the stories. So for the free feed, your best bet is just to go to 20 minutes or 22 minutes and start playing it there. But I would only do that after you get used to the podcast, because otherwise it's going to be even more strange. So that's the intro. Then there's business. That's how the podcast business works, is a mid-roll, they call it. So that's where a lot of our business is, between the intro and the episode. And that's kind of, again, just important to bring you the show. Then there's our story, which is episodically modular series. You can listen to it in any order. Just a bedtime story, we'll say. It's called Otter Things. It's about otters and other beings in the swamp. Then there's thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. So that's the next thing to know. Then the other thing you want to know is that I make the show because I've been there. Tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. So I know how it feels, and I just want something a little bit nice and a little bit relieving for you. To just give you some comfort and to take your mind off stuff, to help. So I hope I can provide that. And the reason I want to help is, one, because I've been there, but two, because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place where you can rest, feel comfortable, and have some distance between the day and you, so that tomorrow you're rested and you can live your life. That's like I said, it's not fair. It's not enjoyable. And really, one of my other goals is to just make bedtime something you don't have to dread. Even if you can't, you know, even if we can't get to the point where you look forward to it, you say, well, it's not as bad with Scoots. Yeah, that's what I hope the regular listeners, well, I got Scoots there, so at least I got something. You know, I got my cats, I got my, I don't put my Legos in bed, obviously. I got my former action figures, now I call them chill figures, play figures, and my dolls, which is still called dolls. But yeah, like I can't patent that title, chill figures, but, you know, if you do have whatever, I don't know what companies are still making those kind of toys, but get in touch with me, you know. Hasbro, do you even exist anymore? Like, 'cause if you do, I know that I'm pretty sure that's who used to make action figures. Or you could, we'd have to get this word, because I think, somebody probably owns this, whoever owns the rights to Superbad, but we could call them chillaxin figures. I mean, that's just automatic. That almost works. So whatever I wrote in my hand, I won't even talk about anymore, because we don't need to. Now that we've stumbled on chillaxin figures, You say, tell me more about your vision for Chillax and figures. And I'd say, well, thanks. I'm glad I have the great toy conglomerates here all together in one room. So you all just have one chance, to shower me with your toy billions. But, we're not taking any toy money, by the way. Oh, could you pay me in Star Wars? No, please don't bring that up, because please don't try to tempt me with toy-based bonuses, because they won't be accepted because they would work, but I can't take any toy-based bonuses. I mean, it'd be great if you just accidentally left some toys somewhere, but it wouldn't impact my decision-making at all. I mean, like if a giant container of Chillaxin figures showed up somewhere, but also I have nowhere to put it. I live in an apartment, thanks for all of you coming. Yeah, so there's a vision of the Chillaxin figure. Now, I know this is, outside of the toy box, or whatever you call that, the plastic, whatever the heck it's called. I'm not trying to say you have limited vision, but when I pitched Chillaxin figures to my toys, some of my toys said, so it's just like an action figure or a doll like lying in a beach chair. I said, no, that's an action figure Chillaxin. That's something totally different than a Chillaxin figure. An action figure Chillaxing, just to do a basic grammar lesson, if I can, the action figure is the noun and the Chillaxin's the verb. A Chillaxin figure is a proper noun, or one day will be. And it's a figure or a figure-based toy for chillax that you use when you're chillaxing, which is a mild action. Just like super bad, but this is more total nothing like, just because that word was so great. Okay, so I can't get that idea though of a toy just sitting on it's pretty relaxing. That's a relaxing use of a toy. I mean, having a toy on a beach chair, but how long is that going to be relaxing for? Chillaxing figure takes it. It's just basically playing with the toys while you're relaxing. It's just branding. Come on, this is brand. This might not be branding 101, but I don't think it's at 201. I mean, maybe. So just relaxing. It's just a new way to play with toys. And I think it also offers an opportunity to accessorize, because you could have like, because you don't want any, most of these toys, you don't want to have in bed with you, because I know most of your toys are plastic based and they're a bit hard. And this doesn't mean, we should have soft toys. No. Plush toy, stuffed animals and stuff, plush, that's what you have in bed with you. I see your hand in the back. What are you, from one of the plush makers? Why don't you just play with your plush toys in bed and call those Chillaxin figures? I don't want to pull rank here, but I'm the expert. I'll tell you exactly why. I got an answer for this. I'm glad we're having this press conference in the middle of a sleep podcast intro and business pitch, but I'll just answer this last question before you can figure out who's going to, win. It's emotion, right, basically, to talk about. Why can't you just chillax with your stuffed animals? Your relationship with your stuffed animals or your plush is different than with your chillaxin, or formerly action figures or toys, your daytime toys. You have an emotional resonance with a plush that is more for comforting, for snuggling and for sleeping. Now there is some play. I'm sure there's some playtime with them, and that's good. But contextually, it's a totally different level of playing. Just to take you back to Scooter's beginning of his intro, a plush or a stuffed animal bed-based plush. Now this is just bed-based plush, right? Is That's when you're like fully in bed and disengaged. In an action figure, a Lego, a doll, or other things is for daytime playing. A chillaxin figure is the bridge between these two worlds. Those are three different emotional resonances, you understand? And we're the best part is, I'll be creating it. None of you, you'll just be paying me for it and waiting for me to return your calls and get stuff done, which will be a while. Say, Scoots, how's that proposal of the I say, well, it's coming along. I say, send it to voicemail. Is that Hasbro HQ calling? This is said to voicemail. So anyway, if you're new, I'm glad you're here. I really hope this podcast can help you get some rest. Give it a few tries. You know, I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. And I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to bring this podcast to you twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, hey everybody, it's Scoots here, and this is our ongoing episodically modular series. Outer Things. I don't know why my mind blanked on that. And it's episodically modular. It's serial too, but it's modular. So this is a first. I mean, this is groundbreaking stuff for sleep podcasting and all other. Because I'm not anti-narrative. There was a big, especially in the 90s. There was this and there's always like an anti-narrative movement, right? Also, I want to say I'm not anti-narrative. I'm just saying that in this sleep podcast is not anti-narrative. And how did I get so mixed up when I'm trying to introduce a fictional story? The groundbreaking part is that it's episodically modular serialized. So that means you can listen to it in any order, in any sequence. And you'll still get the seriality if you want it. But I don't want the seriality to be something, well, I've never listened to this before. I don't know if I'll like it, or I don't want to listen to it out of order. Those are all natural concerns. And I think that concern comes from an uncomfortableness with anti-narrative, because you see, don't worry, I got you covered. This is an anti-narrative. So it's an ability to listen to the narrative in any order. Because one, Emma Otter is going to come and she's going to catch you up on all the details. But it's also I write the stories in a way that you could listen to them in any order, and you might even get more out of it. Also, this is just for people that, your brain bots might say, well, I can't listen to this one. I really think you'll get a lot out of listening to this, and you don't need to listen to it. Also, you can. So that's why I put all this work in, is because you could listen, but you don't really need to. But I want to let you know that you could listen and not listen. You know, I want to give you permission. I'm not trying to circumvent the part of you that says, whoa, 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 I can't listen to episode 11 first. I say, well, you could. Why don't you give it a try and see how it goes? Because, you could listen to it, or you could fall asleep during it. Either way, I'm going to be here. I'm just here to help. And I made it special for you, BrainBot. And I know you're a completist, and I know you like to listen to things in the right order. But this one, like I've said in other beginnings, you could consider episode 11, episode 1, and all the other ones are prequels. And they say, well, I don't know about that, because you're, and I say, well, just look at it like a thought experiment or research. Just give it a try. So that's what I want you to know about the episodically modular serialized aspect. Everything else, our host Emma Otter, this is archived audio I've discovered from the 1990s. Well, I don't know when Emma recorded it, actually. This just took place in the 1990s. That's a good question, huh? Anyway, here's Emma Otter. Hello, everyone. Emma Otter here, and thank you for listening. I'm happy to be in your ears. I'm Emma Otter. I'm telling you a story of some things that took place in our town not that long ago, some odd otter things. I'm an otter, though, and I'm talking about O-D-D-E-R things. Because this story, while it involves me and Otter, and my brother Tefe and Otter, there are other forest friends or swamp friends, members of our swamp community, and my family, my larger swamp family, involved in this story. But I want to also catch you up on everything that's happened. So once upon a time, there was an otter named Emma. She was pretty good, but not, you know, she wasn't perfect. And she had a best friend and also some other very, very, very good friends that she mentions in no particular order of their, you know, at all. But her and her very, very close friends like to play a game called Bards and Big Bunnies, a role-playing game. You play with dice and you're imagining the theater of the mind. And my friends' names were Willow, Vaughn, and Elijah, or LJ. And we were playing one night, and we finished up our game and at my house, and my friends headed home. But Willow, on her way home, took to a path less taken. And at some point, I'll tell you right up front, she crossed over into a world between worlds, kind of, or something. She encountered a big bunny, part bunny, part goose, goose bunny. And the goose bunny took her to a place beyond the swamp, but we didn't know this at the time. So we spent a lot of time looking until we realized, wow, Emma's, we've got to find Emma and get her back from this goose bunny. Now, remember, I always tell you, all will be well. And even when things aren't all well, the goose bunny was taking care of Emma in a misguided way, I believe. I truly believe this, even though I don't have all of the facts. The goose bunny, it was in a place that was in between our world and another world, and maybe a portal between those worlds. And I don't know if the goose bunny was lonely or, like, was looking for playthings, but pretended Emma was a baby. But there's something going on where, you know, there's a transference between worlds or universes or planets. I don't know the technology. So I don't think the bunny was doing it out of, to be not nice. It was more just a unintended consequence of the bunny's behavior. Also, this was not a bunny with full consciousness. It may have been like a younger bunny that was big. I don't know any of those details. But I just want to let you know the circumstances. So we've been looking for Emma. While we were looking for Emma, we met a new friend from a place beyond the swamp. Billy, a platypus, we found out. Billy's a platypus. She also has powers. When she sings or throat sings or bill sings, she can make things happen, like make things float. She can project herself into these other worlds and see things. She can make you move in slow motion or dance or any of those things. So Billy's been helping us to find Willow, and we've all become pretty good friends. So that's been happening. Meanwhile, my brother Tefe and Willow's sister Dory have also been looking for Willow. And they also have a theory about the big bunny. And they're they've been trying to help get Willow. And Willow's mom, Frances, and our community resource officer of our town, Leon, the bullfrog, Bull, have also been trying to help Willow. And we all got together and we found out that Willow is in like a place beyond the swamp. It's both our world and another world. and she's there. We also learned that Dari's friend Babs, who also had encountered this big bunny. Now, unfortunately, Babs, like the unintended consequences for Willow, it's more of like, well, this could happen. What happened to Babs? It was just, Babs seems like she's fully in the other world, at least physically. Or she could still see through the eyes. She became a doll in our world, basically, a plastic doll. Or I don't know what the doll was made of, but we'll just say that. So physically, she's in another world or another universe or maybe another planet. I don't know, but not here where she could come back. We could see her through the eyes of the doll, or Billy could. So we say, well, if we don't find Willow, that's probably what's going to happen to Willow. Then she'll be stuck in this other world like Babs is, which is fine. I just want to tell you, we kind of got the feeling from Babs, it's fine, that other world, but then she doesn't have the ability to just come here, so she might miss her friends and stuff. And, of course, all this is a lot of times ego-driven. We don't want to be without Willow, of course, in our lives. Dari and Babs had a falling out, so, I mean, I think Dari's probably broken up about it, but she's not like, it's not like her sister or her best friend. I think, I don't know. I can't speak for her. But you know what I mean? You want someone back in your life. And so we're all at our high school gym where we had built a fort to use. That way Billy could try to communicate and find all this information. And that's kind of where we start tonight, is that we took a nap together. And we've woken up after we rested. Maybe we even rested for the whole day or night. I don't know. It still feels like it's dark outside, because it is. And at first what happened was that Leon tried to sneak out. We were all sleeping in this fort, like a tent, like a lodge. And Leon, the bullfrog, tried to leave. And then Francis got up and followed Leon. And Leon said, well, Francis, I want you to keep an eye on the kids. And she said, where are you going? And he said, you know where I'm you kind of got a general idea where I'm going. I'm going to the place beyond the swamp to find my way in and get Willow. And Francis said, Willow's my daughter. And Leon said, well, this is like my job as community resource officer. I'm an authority figure and you're just a mom. And Francis said, I'm sorry, excuse me? Like, excuse me? Really? Excuse me? I'm coming with you. I'm not even going to dignify that with any more than multiple excuse me's and the way I'm looking at you. So let's go get my daughter. So they headed off, and then Dari woke up, and Dari had been dreaming about her friend Babs. So she went off because she was having strong feelings, and she went to feel her feelings and let them really come up. Her strong feelings about missing Babs, about Babs not now being definitely not a part of her life, and that why did that happen to Babs, all those things. And she was really had the ability to just let her feelings come up and feel them and be overpowered for a time by them. At some point then, Tefe woke up, and Tefe headed out because Tefe could hear the tail end of Dari's strong feelings, sniffling. Maybe Tefe, I would guess that Tefe was even waiting for the tail end because it might have been too much for someone like Tefe, but that's just me. He's my brother. I'm judgmental. But so then Dari went out to Tefe went out to Dari and said she's sorry about Babs. And Dari said, well, I guess I'll never see her again. And Tefe said, yeah, that's like, still can't believe it, huh? But you sound like you've gone on to another stage of acceptance or something. And Dari said, well, at least you'll never kiss her again, I guess. And Tefe said, yeah, I guess so. So I guess we'll just keep an eye on these kids. Where did the adults go? And Dari said, I think you could figure out where they went. They went to get Willow in the place beyond the swamp. which is a visitor center and a bog walk, but also a secret government facility with more than likely a portal to another world. And Tefe said, yeah, you're right. That's probably where they went. And Dar said, and we'll need to do something. And Tefe said, well, if it sounds like they got it handled. And she said, the going in, getting Willow part, but the big bunny, the carrots, we collected everything. We need to lure the big bunny away from the place beyond the swamp. We have to be AIT. We have to lead the goose bunny on a wild goose chase, at least for a period of time, and maybe keep it as a pet, or, you know, for the prop, so it could be observed, so that they can get what. And Tefe said, okay, I think I understand. We had a plan going. And Dari said, well, it's time to put our plan in action. And Tefe said, okay, you're right. So they headed off, and then we started to wake up, and we wondered where they were. We said, all the adults are gone, and even the teens are gone, so it's just the four of us on our own. We should just probably wait here and hang out, lay low, until they come back. Now, meanwhile, I was kind of lying there wondering what Francis and Leon were doing. If I tried to imagine where they were, if they had discovered Willow. But now, you know, I kind of know. So I get to tell you that they headed out and they drove and then they snuck across the road that separates our place from the swamp. And they tried to quietly get on the bog walk, and they were going to sneak into the visitor center and head down to the facility. But as they snuck on the bog walk, they took a few steps, and all of a sudden, and you see this in movies, you always wonder, where does this really happen? But all of a sudden, like the bog walk, which is like a wooden walk on a bog, not that we would use it. This was a place beyond the swamp we didn't really go. Some people would say it was remnants from when humans roamed the earth. But we all know that's just fiction. So probably just something that people we built and forgot about, even though it's not, the size was different. And the visitor center was different. But anyways, so they were walking on the bog walk. And all of a sudden they felt things moving. And then the bog walk dropped down and became like the wooden part dropped down, and they found themselves on a bouncy house slide, a really long one though. And they slid down this bouncy house slide, and it wrapped around. Probably, I said, well, if that was on the bog walk and we knew about it, we'd use that all the time. But then for them, the bouncy house slide circled down and down and down. And eventually ended in like a bouncy house room where they came out. But then they they actually had it like designed so that bull bounced and slid down another slide. But then something caught Francis. And Francis, there was like an exit like there is on most bouncy houses. She still had her shoes on, but she slid out of the bouncy house and then was in this kind of stark room. And she kind of looked where Bull went, but it wasn't, she couldn't get through there. And she walked in towards the door. The room had a door and the door was closed, but she walked up to the knob, put her hand on the knob and twisted it and opened it. And she opened the door, and sitting in a room with a two-way mirror was Dr. Max Modine with a lab coat and everything, and even a thing that said Dr. Max name tag, or maybe it was stitched into the pocket of his lab coat, and said, hey, sit down, Francis, let's talk. And Frances closed the door behind her because she has great manners, and she saw that there was another door. And she sat down across from Dr. Max Modine, Maximum, but it said Dr. Max. And she said, yeah, let's talk. Go ahead. And Dr. Max said, we need your help. We need to know where that platypus is because we need the platypus to deal with the bunny. And also we need the platypus back. And Francis said, Billy. And Dr. Max gulped and said, yeah, Billy. And he said, but Billy belongs here. And also, we'll put a stop to the bunny. It was an accident, and we didn't know what happened. And sorry about Willow, but if you have any information, like on anything strange happening or odd, to fill us in, because we're also, even though we act like we have all the knowledge, we don't. We've been listening into most of your stuff, but not everything. But, you know, we want to do what's right. And then Francis started to laugh only a knowing but strong in her outraged mother could laugh. A laugh that wasn't ironic or sarcastic, but that was full of knowledge at ridiculous adult behavior. And she said, listen, Dr. Max, I know Billy. She's my friend. I care about her. And I know who you are. We went to the library, one. But I've looked into Billy's eyes, I'm not going to help you find Billy. And also I demand to see Willow and then I would say that this was probably a strategy, though if you watched it, you were just observing it, or you were Dr. Max, you would have thought, huh, this is strange, odd, over the top of behavior. But I think it was strategic that then Francis just started laughing and didn't stop. And she was laughing in a way that was aggressive and intimidating, and Dr. Max just couldn't handle it and had to leave the room. Because Dr. Max's fancy words and stuff just turned to a puddle of nothing in the face of a mother's laughter, aggressive laughter. There's nothing passive about it. Now, meanwhile, Bull had gone down into another room and was in this room with a bunch of these weasels that worked for Dr. Max. And they had Bull laying on a tanning bed, which I guess is something that simulates sunlight. They knew what it was, and they explained it. They said, this simulates a sunlight frog, and we're going to turn it on. And don't you breathe through your skin and don't you need to have a certain wetness? They were making jokes, so I guess we'll find out. Or you could just tell us where that kid is, the duck-billed beaver. And Bull said, well, you know what really, you know, the most sensitive part of me is my tongue. And they said, what? And Bull said, watch, if you put my tongue in there, I'll tell you everything I know. And these were weasels. So they weren't exactly, known for being quick. No offense to smart weasels. These weasels were more higher, weasels for hire. And they said, well, and then Bull stuck Bull's tongue in. Now, the tanning bed has two, so it gives you sunlight on both sides of your body. I don't know who would need this again. Maybe, but it was working. But Bull took Bull's tongue and wrapped it around and then closed the tanning bed and said, go ahead, turn it on. And then Bull turned it on, and Bull's face started to say, and Bull was talking, like, with his tongue out. Like, I won't tell anybody anything unless, like, I'm going to dry my tongue out unless you let me talk to your boss. I won't be able to tell your boss anything with a dried out tongue. So it's your choice, which kind of confuses me, but confuses the weasels as well. Because, like, Bull wouldn't be able to talk to their boss if he had a dried out tongue, which is what he wanted to do. But again, this was like a heightened moment. And the tanning bed was making this like humming sound, and Bull's face was sweating because his tongue was being, he had it on low because they had planned on, you know, like slowly heightening, you know, getting Bull to talk. And he said, just let me talk to your boss, Dr. Max. So eventually they relented, and then Bull went into the room or another room where Dr. Max was sitting. And Bull sat down across from Dr. Max, and Bull said, hi, Dr. Max, good to see you again. And Dr. Max said, well, I want to talk to you about the situation and, Willow and, doing what's right and helping us find Billy. Because that's, like, the only thing that's going to stop any of this. And I know aren't you the resource officer of the whole community? Because until we get Billy back here to deal with the bunny, and Bull said, interesting. I guess something else I wanted to talk to you about, Dr. Max, if you don't mind. And Dr. Max kind of said, okay. And Bull said, you remember that movie, The Fox and the Frog? It was my favorite movie as a kid. It was the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater. And Dr. Max said, yeah, they were best friends, the fox and the frog, friends forever. Wasn't that the subtitle of the movie? And Bull went croak, ribbit or something. And he said, yeah, until the fox grew up, right? And then Max kind of nodded and said, yeah, and then that fox fell in with that group of foxes who said, this is a natural order of things, the circle of life. You can't be friends with a frog. Don't you understand? This is how foxes are. When we foxes run free, foxes run wild. Dr. Max said, okay, yeah, I get it. Not your favorite movie, huh? And Bull said, yeah, it wasn't until the very end. It was a thing, like, where the fox was chasing the frog, right, at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie. And it was going, like, the fox had bought into the fox mentality. And they chased a frog up that, they lived in that, like, world on the edge of that steampunk world. I think it was trying to introduce another movie or something. They went up that water wheel, and the frog got away, but the fox ended up going in the water wheel, built up a charge that gave the fox a little S-H-O-C-K, shocky poo. And then the fox needed the frog, right? Because it was an accident. The frog didn't mean for it to happen. And that's when the fox realized the error of the fox's ways, right? Yeah, Leon, that's a very nice parable. So, in this one, aren't you here, the frog, to save Willow in your town? Isn't that why we're here anyway? Listen, fox, I know you want the platypus, and you're wondering, you don't know where the platypus is, so let's talk deals. Well, that's strange, Leon, because it's out of character for you. You're just going to make a deal with me? I mean, I get it. You want to save the kid, but I'm not the first, this isn't my first foxing, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So why should I trust you? Well, Dr. Max, it should be obvious, but let me lay it out for you if I need to. I got another parable for you, because I don't know if you knew that there was a second Fox in the Frog movie. It went straight to video, though. It didn't make it in the theaters. It wasn't even popular, and it wasn't good, they said. It was called Fox and the Frog, Froggy in the City. You see, the actor that played the Fox had asked for too much money for a direct-to-video sequel. They had become really famous in the time since the first release. And they were only contractually obligated to say 10 words for the sequel. So the Fox wasn't really in the second movie. It was just a frog moving to the big city. And the frog has grown up and had been living next door to the Fox the whole time. They were best friends. They ran a shop together. Whole nine yards, all perfect happiness, living together, living in community. They both had families, but the frog had this crazy idea to move to the city and become a singer at the clubs, a lounge singer in the big old city, you know, the town's so old and nice. They say old twice or thrice. Old city. A big old city. I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the movie. Now, I have a theory about the movie and the frog. Is that the frog had so much action in that first movie and that thing with the wheel and all of that. That deep down, the frog could never get back to that chase on the water wheel. And rescuing the fox, that it was too thrilling. And the fox had spent its whole life trying to track that thrill down or waiting till it could get a thrill like that back. Like heroism and instant payoff, gratification. And maybe he just didn't feel comfortable in his own skin. I don't know, but... And of course, you know, the movie shows that the frog was wrong, but the frog headed off to the big city. Fox told him not to go. He ignored the fox. Be reasonable. Brought his family there. But when he got there, all he cared about was his dream. Not about his friend the fox and not about his family. It was just his dream. And he wasn't a teachable person, this fox, you know. It was all his ego and his stuff in this movie. No wonder it wasn't popular, huh? Who would want to watch a movie about this? The frog didn't have, like, a quiet place in him where, you know, ideas and love and comfort could take hold. And the frog had a lot of bad habits to tune out from all, you know, cognitive dissonance and numbness and that whole thing. But the frog kept telling himself, everything's going to be okay. Once I become a big star, everything's going to be okay. But it ended up between his bad behavior and his inability to be taught or to take any constructive help. Things didn't go well, and he ended up getting banned from every club in town. His family had enough, and he sunk so low that one time, you know, he went out for a walk, and he just kept walking till he found himself in the desert, and the sun was just shining down, and the frog just kept walking. I see you're interrupting me. What's your question, Dr. Max? The desert? What do you mean the desert? Yeah, the desert. And the fox came and got him. Now, the fox didn't speak. That was like part of the brilliance. The movie, in my opinion, was they could have the fox appear there and go get its buddy from the desert and bring him back and nurse him back to health. Brought him back to the swamp, of course. Slowly helped him recover, taught him some new habits, and didn't realize how far gone his buddy had been. Okay. Well, what did, Liam, what does this have to do with anything? Well, try, here I am, Dr. Max, and I'm asking myself, am I the frog or the fox in this situation? You know what I'm saying? Winkety wink. And this is Emma here, because I don't, when sometimes adults do that winkety wink thing, and I don't know what it means. And in this situation, I don't know what it meant. Even when I heard Leon recount it to me, just like you did. What is winkety, who is Leon the frog or the fox? I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, I would hope that the winkety wink was a double winkety wink, meaning he was trying to trick Dr. Max. But it could have been, because I don't know, it's hard to understand. Or it was a winkety wink that he's balancing Willow and Billy. I don't know. But I think the winkety wink was like that he was confident that he could be the fox and the frog in this situation, or the you know, I think. So we'll get back to them. But then we also have Darian Francis. And so kind of let me get you ready for this. They had gotten their, they had, you know, we're going to catch up with them in kind of in the middle of something, but they had kind of gathered everything else they needed, all the carrots. They'd gone to Francis's house. They had made steps. Now, the mascot at a nearby high school, I don't know when they acquired these, but it's the Cowlingstown Carrots, is one of our nearby rival schools in Killeenstown. And so when you picture this, picture Dari and Tefe, and especially Tefe, smoothest otter in town, and they're in the living room of Francis's house dressed as carrots in carrot mascot outfits. And they're also kind of covering themselves with little peanut butter in carrot shavings. They say, no, they're going back. No, Tefe, you need to put your carrot shavings on the inside and the outside. But what, even in my fur? Yes, in your fur, Tefe. It has to be everywhere. In fact, you look like a cuter carrot with carrot shavings in your fur. Oh, thanks. That's really important to me, Dari. So, okay, so let's go over the plan again. Okay, so the bunny's going to come in, right? It'll smell us. Eventually, it's not going to be long now. And then it'll see us. And there's a pile of carrot shavings at our feet. So as soon as we see the bunny, we're going to run down the hall. And we're going to dance. And then the bunny should eat these carrots shavings, then look up at us and see us dancing and smell us. And be like, I hit the jackpot, there's dancing, shedding carrots or something. But what the bunny won't realize is that we had pushed the bowling ball that'll knock that egg over. Then the egg will start frying. Then the steam from the frying egg will melt that butter, which will slide down there. Okay, yeah, I know there's a lot of steps in there. Okay, yeah, I'll skip ahead. Eventually, it'll turn on Adi Ruxpin in the hall, like at the back door. Yeah, and you recorded the beginning of that Adi. Wait a second, Tefe, I don't mean to change the subject. So this Adi Ruxpin, so it's an otter doll, like an animatronic one, but it's still like a plush doll. Like it was in your room, it was in your bed when we got it. So you still sleep with this Adi Ruxpin? Because it also had fresh batteries, and I noticed you didn't have to change the fresh batteries. And you said, "Don't worry, I know exactly how." Not like, "Oh, I remember from when I was a kid how to record on this thing." And you said that it has a lullaby made to put anybody to sleep, which is just ironic that it's Willow talking about all of the rules. So you fall asleep to Willow and Emma, like going over rules. What is that called? Initiative? Like, but you sleep, so you sleep with Adi Ruxpin every night? Listen, Dari, that's a doll from when I was a child, long time ago. I keep it in my room. It reminds me of when I was young and I was a kid. And, yeah, sometimes I'll turn it on for the sleep. Yeah, it's like something to sleep to. Those two are talking about initiative. But, yeah, what I'm going to do is, like, I recorded at the beginning, carrots, lots of free carrots over here. So that will cause the bunny to turn the bunny's head. Then I started pretending I was doing some baby talk. Baby wants some carrots. That'll be when the machine starts to reel in Adi Ruxpin out the door, right? While it does that, the big bunny should at least have its eyes gone for a second. We'll sneak out the window and go around the back door. And that rope will pull Adi Ruxpin out the back door, hopefully leading the bunny along because we stuffed it full of carrots and stuff. And those are the top tier carrots that we put with Adi Ruxpin. And it'll eventually drag Adi Ruxpin into the giant Class A carrot pile we have with the cargo net underneath it. We'll be dancing on the other side of the cargo net. The bunny will come out. Adi Ruxpin will be singing, starting at that point, the bedtime, like talking of our sisters. And then the net will lift up and the carrot, then more carrots, shavings. We have those buckets full of it with like peanut butter will rain down on the bunny. And the bunny should be caught, but it'll be covered in carrot confetti, which should calm, like it'll have, I think it'll calm it because it'll be like, it'll be listening to the bedtime story or whatever, and it'll be covered in carrot shreds. So it's, first it should be confused. This is your theory. Yeah, it should be confused. You're right, next F.A. And I mean, we're just guessing here, but I think it will calm it down, and there'll be plenty for it to eat, and it'll be in that net. What the heck is Tefe? Dari, what is it? Your Adi Ruxpin just walked into the room. What the hello, Adi Ruxpin? Wait a second, Adi Ruxpin, what are you? Hello, Tefe. Oh, hello, Dari. It's me. Adi Ruxpin, we're kind of like, Dari, I think I might, this must be a dream or something, right? This isn't real. No, it's real, Tefe. Adi, this isn't really a good time right now. Also, don't tell Dari anything I told you about her. Because you promised to keep my secrets, right, Adi? So please just, when did you learn to walk around anyway? Oh, Tefe, how do you really feel about Dari? Tell me more. Adi, what's going on with you? Yeah, what's going on with your eyes, Adi Ruxpin? Wait a second. I can see Babs and Adi. Babs, is that you? Dari, it is me. Thank you. I'm not Adi Ruxpin, Tefe. It's me, Babs. I'm drifting. I was drifting around the other world, and I knew you could use some help. I saw the two of you discussing your plans. And I found my way into Adi Ruxpin to try. Also, I think the two of you should talk out your feelings for one another. Because now I'm gone. I mean, I can be here as Adi Ruxpin, but not as Babs. Okay, that's not a good... We don't need to talk about that. Yeah, Babs, we don't need to talk about that. It's just really not a good... We had a plan. Babs, thank you. Oh my gosh, the earth is shaking. The bunny is coming. Excuse me, Tari and Defe, or Dari and Tefe. If you were a couple, I'd call you Tarfe. Why are you dressed as carrots anyway? I don't remember that part of the plan. You look great. Okay, can you, Babs, if you really want to help, you could just go lay back down right now because the wall is bending inwards. Tefe, that's where the bunny's going to come through. Yep, but that's the wall that has the ball. Oh, it just came through the wall and knocked a bowling ball, so the machine's not going to work. And it's a giant goose bunny staring at us, and I just realized we're giant carrots. Oh, dear. Babs, you better get out of here because we're going to have to, okay, Tefe, let's just run down the hall. Babs, what are you singing about? Okay, if we run, we'll just keep going. Babs, just stay right there because you are confusing the bunny with your singing. Okay, Tefe, let's just go run back outside. Okay, Tefe, if we run, good job running. Now we'll go out this window. I think the bunny was still, okay, so let's just get behind the net, just like our plan. So I don't know where Babs went. Okay, the bunny sees us, it's coming out the back door. I guess we didn't need the Audi ruck spin. And this is really, this is good. We just got just a few more steps. Keep dancing, Tefe. Yep, do a carrot, dance like a carrot in the rain or something. I don't know where Babs went or Adi. We're tasty carrots. Oh boy, come and eat us. Dari, I'm really worried. It's going to go to the cargo net. It's slowly coming. It's just eating the carrot shreds on the way. It's working. Just keep dancing. Yeah, here we are, right on the other side of this pile of carrots. It's two giant carrots. Okay, just focus on being a carrot. I'm a little carrot, orange and long. This is a carrot singing a carrot song. Oh, what was that? Was that someone that just said B-O-O behind us and made us jump into the cargo net, which is pulling us up? Tefe, did you? Yeah, that was Adi Ruxpin. Just said boo behind us. And we jumped into the cargo net, and now it's bringing us up. And the bunny's coming. It's right below us. We're just out of reach of it. Babs, why did you do that? And the bunny is trying to get us. Okay, well, at least we're out of reach of the bunny right now. Because the bowling ball didn't go. It didn't release the carrot shreds and peanut butter buckets. Okay, Dari, I don't even know what that means. If we can swing the cargo net a little, we could swing it out of the way, and I can pull the rope and dump the peanut butter and carrot shreds on the bunny. Well, why is that important right now? Shouldn't we try to be... Because the bunny just hasn't realized it can jump yet for some reason. Oh, I forgot bunnies can jump. Okay, so just keep swinging. We're doing good. Push your foot out and see if you can push it against that tree. Okay, great. One more swing. And I'm pulling a rope, and the big bunny is being covered in carrot shreds and peanut butter. Really good that you did a 3-to-1 watering down of the peanut butter, Babs, because it wouldn't have poured. Sorry, Dari, I didn't mean to. Don't worry about it, Tefe, but it's not. It's not. Oh, wait a second. So the bunny is... Bunny seems to be, I guess our theory was wrong. The bunny seems to be more upset because the goose things are eating the carrots off of itself. And I don't think the bunny likes how that feels. And it looks like, there's Adi Ruxpin with a wagon full of carrots and it's waving to the bunny. And it's letting the bunny chase it off. Yeah. So Babs, where do you think they're going? Well, I don't know, but Babs behind your garage, but it looks like Babs kept going. I didn't realize Adi Ruxpin could run that fast. Yeah, the bunny's kind of slowed down a little bit. Okay, so what should we do? Well, we should try to get out of the net and follow the, follow them. But at first, I think we should rest because this swinging is so gentle and calming, back and forth. It's so relaxing that I feel like I'm also drifting off into a sweet sleep. Yeah, you're right. So am I. So maybe we should just rest for now, and then we'll find out what else is going on out here in the world of Otter Things. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts recently. TCL said amazing. Don't know how he does it. Even if I don't think I will be able to fall asleep, I'm asleep within minutes of the story starting. Listen to the intro as I'm getting comfortable winding down, and then I try to listen, and my head is swimming in warm and sleepy thoughts. Great sleepy time stories, I think. That's from Miss AB, who says, I can't believe how well this works. I love watching episodes of old episodes of Friends or Modern Family. I get hooked on the story. But this podcast, not so much in a good sleepy way, though. Never heard the end of one of them. Good night. Kay says, great podcast, puts me to sleep every night. Something about his voice and the stories he shares to make it much more peaceful. Insta Sunset says, I've had insomnia for 4 years, and while this wasn't the only cure, it's a nice and comforting part of the treatment. I still listen on those hard nights and grateful. Says, give it a shot. Love this podcast. At first, I was like, what the heck am I listening to? Like so many other people, but then I never made it to the end of a podcast yet. Maggie says, I feel at home whenever I listen. I started listening in 2020, and, you know, there's a lot going on in 2020, and I just moved out into college, and the podcast makes me feel at home. Once you get used to the style, it's great. This person does not like the podcast. They said, what? So sleepy. That's from Anna Rome, who says, such a good podcast, so sleepy. Ellie loves Doctor Who. Posty Maloney says, awesome during the corona. I think everyone needs something like this. KGD loves the show. SMJ says, thank you. Suffers from severe insomnia. But, and the podcast is an inclusive and safe place. Sky says, keep going, Scoots. And yeah, that's everybody who reviewed the show recently over on Apple Podcasts. I appreciate that. And Sleep With Me exists because of people who support the sponsors and support the show on Patreon. And we grow and more people get sleep and discover the show by you just spreading the word in your natural life conversation online. So if it comes up, spread the word about it. It's a huge help. Thanks so much and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.